No. Engage with the Word of God and drink it into your heart, brothers and sisters. Because the free gift of God, which is the grace of Jesus Christ, is visited upon you in compassion. Talking about behavior modification a little bit. This week I had the wonderful opportunity to bump into a brother of a dear friend of mine. This brother had wrestled with all kinds of things in his life. He's wearing his shirt, you know, he's got his top button, but, you know, tattoos are sticking up out from under the collar, you know, signs of the way he used to live and stuff. And, well, it's kind of interesting. I had heard the rumors. I had heard he quit drinking. I had heard that he was, like, going to church. I heard that he was making time for his kids and being a wonderful dad. I heard all of this wonderful thing happen. All of this amazing behavior modification had taken place. So many of the wonderful traits that a lot of us would wish upon our own lives were taking place in his life. And you might be tempted to say, well, what was it? Dianetics? You know, for those of you, again, who are as old as me and remember that book. You know, what'd you do? Did you, how did this happen? What, AA? What'd you do? What he did was he found the Lord. And the thing about it was, when you looked to him, when you spoke to him, there was a light behind his eyes. And it is a light that I know well. And it is a light that I have seen in others when they are in love with Jesus Christ their Lord. And that love that Jesus Christ visited upon him changed him completely. And he said to me, now all I want to do is serve God. And I said, have you thought about going to Romania and the Ukraine? And I told him what's going on and that I want to maybe take a group from my church later. And he goes, you know what? I might be interested in that. You got to draft them where you can get them, right, brothers and sisters? But that light told me everything. That light told me he has found the Jesus that I know. He has found the Jesus that is revealed in the Bible. The Jesus that if anyone would but engage with this word, not just read it, but engage with it. The Jesus that they would find, who would absolutely not just be willing to, but would love to turn their lives inside out and upside down by turning them right side up for the first time. Let it happen, brothers and sisters. God's love to all of humanity is a love of compassion. To say it another way, it is also pity. Now, you might not like that I said pity, because we've been brought up in American culture to not appreciate pity. But the pity of the Lord can also be expressed another way. It is a broken-hearted love. Brothers and sisters, maybe you can understand what I'm about to say. Have you ever had a loved one that caused a certain sense of brokenheartedness in you? That has made you humble yourself and pray on their behalf, wishing that they would change their ways, wishing that they would rethink their life? This is very similar to the love that God has for mankind. We were his beautiful creation. He molded us from the dust of this earth. The scripture says that he breathed life into mankind. He made us in his own image, says the scripture. There is a spark, something within us that was not just from the dust of this world, but something that God put inside of each and every one of us. A reflection of him, if you will. And when we are lost in our sin and in our shame, before we ever meet Jesus Christ, he has a broken-hearted love for you. Sometimes people don't understand. Who God is and how God is. And sometimes people just wish they could find someone to love them. But there is a God. And he is brokenhearted over the loss of this world. And he loves them beyond their wildest imagination. Are you sitting out there today just wishing that someone loved you? I have good news for you. Someone does love you. And they love you more than you will ever be able to fathom. The scripture teaches in Psalm 86:5, He is good and ready to forgive in abundant and loving kindness to all who called upon Him. What does it mean to be lost in sins? It means to be outside of a relationship with the Father. It means to be estranged or divorced from the person of God. And I humbly believe that every single life on the face of this earth who has not yet met Christ, they're wielding the pain of that divorce daily in their lives. But the cry of the evangelist over the ages is just this. Open up your heart. Open up your life to God. Brothers and sisters, a passage you are all very familiar with because I say it a lot. Jesus Christ said, In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go now there to prepare one for you. And then he says, and I'm going to modern day lingo it up a little bit. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. Jesus said, I'm not a liar. If it came out of my mouth, it is the truth of God. Brothers and sisters, the evangelists, the pastors, the loving Christian brothers and sisters, the loving Christian parents, ever since the time of Christ, we have been passing on this message that what ails humanity is their separation from God. Famous evangelists used to always say, man has a hole in their heart that is God-shaped. And there is only one thing that can fill it. And although mankind has tried to fill that hole in every way imaginable, sex, money, power, drugs, ambition, direction, respect, so many things that we try to put in that hole to fill it up, but there is only one thing that will fit, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean in plain language? As the scripture has said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to pray. You have to turn to the Lord at one point and say, Dear God, I am a sinner and I have fallen short of your glory. I ask you, dear Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Just those simple few words are all that is necessary to enter into a beautiful relationship with your Savior. It doesn't matter if you join this church, although it'd be nice, amen. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you put in the plate. It doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, what you look like, or anything else. And it doesn't matter what you've done. God doesn't care where you've been sleeping. He doesn't care about who you woke up next to. God doesn't care about so many of the other expressions of brokenness that exist in this world. God simply loves you, wants to forgive you, wants to be your Savior and Lord. And to receive that relationship, you just have to ask. And He will not say no. In Exodus 34:6, it says that He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is our God. Christian songwriter Phil Joel, he wrote a song. He used to be a member of the Newsboys, and he wrote this song many years ago now, and every now and then I reflect upon it and I get irritated. I know Phil Joel is probably a good Christian, and he meant very well, but the chorus of this song was, God came down to earth so that He would know what it's like to be me. Brothers and sisters, I worship a God that's omniscient. He knows everything. He doesn't need to wrap flesh about Himself to find out what it's like to be Bob. He already knows what it was like to be Bob before Jesus found me. I was lost. I was in darkness. I was part of the wrong kingdom. God knows it so very well. God sent His Son so that we would know who He is. God sent his son so that we could look Jesus in the face and see the Father, so we could listen to Jesus' words and hear the love letter from the Lord God Almighty that was his son. Brothers and sisters, don't hold back from God. Open up your heart to him. Love him unashamedly. Dare to change your world with the love of Jesus Christ. And accept no less. Can I get an amen? Come on now, don't mean no frozen chosen. I shouldn't have had to ask for that one. Just kidding. But brothers and sisters, grace, compassion, and admonition. What is admonition? Being chastised, being called out, being admonished about something. It also involves, though, in the scripture, a call to repentance. The scripture is rich with God's robust statements on the need to leave sin behind and embrace holiness. Brothers and sisters, when I grew up, I'm still working on that, but when I was smaller in stature, it always seemed like church to me was just getting yelled at about changing your behavior. If I could yell anything at you right now, it would be change your relationship with God. Change who he is in your heart and in your mind. If we are always only about behavior modification, I got to tell you something, brothers and sisters, we're never going to get there. How'd your last diet work out? How'd your New Year's resolution work out? What other statement of willpower have you ever made in your life 1,000 times over, yet never followed through on? No, behavior modification can really only come when our souls have been aligned with the Lord God Almighty. Let him change you. Let him ignite that light inside of your eyes. If you have never known the love of God, I have good news for you. It's open up to you right now, and you can participate in it. You can pray in your seat that simple prayer I said earlier, or you can come forward in but a few minutes when we're having our altar call, and I'll pray with you if you want to make sure you get it right. But brothers and sisters, the scripture is rich with God's robust statements on a relationship with him and how we need to leave sin behind. But the relationship comes first. He is the only one that can inspire you to change your ways. He loved us and all of our brokenness. And in his love for us, he has warned us about the danger of sin, about the severity of punishment that can bring upon us. If God really did not love the brokenhearted, if God's love for us was not really a brokenhearted love, if God really did not take pity on us, if God really did not love the lost sinner of this world, then nothing would have compelled him to warn them. Do you understand? God never would have been compelled to warn us that we were lost unless he loved us. Brothers and sisters, we talk about the love of God in many capacities. I'm going to share a passage of scripture with you that I have already shared with you recently. And before this sermon series on the love of God is over, you're all going to be intimately familiar with it. We want to change our world. Amen. We want to see this world molded in such a way that it glorifies God throughout. Amen. We want to see an end to the wars. Amen. We want to see an end to the terrorism. We want to see an end to all the strife. We want to see an end to all of the divisions and the walls that we put up with each other and around us. We all want that relationship that we talked about earlier, where there is that brother, that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We all want that one relationship with those people that are enriching and endearing to us. Those people that, like, at the mere mention of their name, a smile might pop up on your face and you think to yourself, that's my beloved friend. That's my dearest buddy. That's my this, that's my that. But those people that only good comes into our hearts at the mere mention of their name, then we need to be those kinds of people as well. And whether we only have one of those friends or a room full of those friends or hopefully hundreds if not thousands of those friends, These are the kinds of relationships that we need to strive for. And these kinds of relationships tend to only happen when Jesus Christ is king of that relationship. Listen to this passage. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Brothers and sisters, is it love that you want? Is love superior? Is love the most beautiful thing we can experience on the face of this earth? Yes, the true love of God, agape love, that comes raining down upon us and teaches us what real love is and helps us to love in a real way all of those around us. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As long as it's the real love of God being manifest in your life. Brothers and sisters, there is a false love that's in this world, a love of self, a love that a lot of people use to trick themselves. But as the book of James says, anything good, beautiful, wonderful, or lovely, it rains down as a gift from above. God's agape love only comes from above. I challenge you, in all love, whatever is holding you back, if there is such a thing, give it to God. If you have never prayed and asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior to receive this love, please don't hesitate. When we're done praying, come up. Let me pray with you. If you want to make sure you do it right, come up. I'll pray with you. We'll make sure it's done right. Amen, church family? And brothers and sisters, if you are here and you know what it's like to have that light burn richly inside of you, but you've let it flicker and maybe you've let it fade a little bit, then you too turn your heart to the Lord and let Him fan it back into a full flame, brothers and sisters. Let's none of us leave here without being right with the Lord. Will you join me in prayer? My dearest Heavenly Lord, Father God, there is so much pain, so much pain. Sometimes our homes and our families can be ugly places. Sometimes we feel hurt and betrayed by those that we love the most. Challenges, disorders, diseases compound the brokenness of man. Depression, Lord God, runs rampant through so many hearts and minds. But Father, there is a love that first of all comes from above. Your word says that we know what love is because you first loved us. Lord, when it seems like there's nowhere on this earth that we can turn to you. And you are there. You are our greatest cheerleader we could ever have. You are the most amazing coach there's ever been. You are the best dad that has ever existed. You are all things great, beautiful, and wonderful. And your gaze and your loving heart hands are upon us even now. We throw ourselves before you and we just cry out, hold us, Jesus. We need to be held. Lord, if there is even one person in this room today that does not know your Son as Savior, please, as soon as we say amen, let them come forward so we can pray with them. If there's even one person here today who knows you, but who has wandered, let them come. Father God, if there is a decision on a heart here today that glorifies you, let it be made. But Father, please, let your love abound. May each and every one of us just have the purest of intentions and thoughts towards one another. And of course, Lord God, towards you. As you spectate in this time of decision, we know you are looking into our hearts and our minds. You see everything. May all that you find be beautiful in your sight, Lord God. But Father, if there is any evil way within us, illuminate it. And Father God, give us the strength to lay it at your feet. We love you, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?